I have now been officially a part of every single What Would It Cost set there is. We have a rule at our team. If you're in the same exact position 1 year from now, we've done something wrong. I think we're seeing a busyness now. Clients are actually listening to the realtors, and if the realtors are any good, they're telling their clients, look, lock in at a 6%. Get the best deal you can on the home. Let the market raise the market value over the course of 12 months. Take the 1 year, take the variable, and just, you know, refinance.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to What Would It Cost? We're at a special, very special edition here at Live at the Buzz Conference, and we're with the absolute powerhouse, Killer, and my friend, Andrew Perry.
Hey, thanks, buddy. So, okay, I know you're probably going to say this, but I just wanted to, you know, get this off my chest. I have now been officially a part of every single What Would It Cost set there is. And if you guys open something in Chicago or Arizona, I also want to be on that podcast too.
You're a lifetime member now.
Yeah,
that's
see?
What it is. Literally, yeah. He's been in Florida. He's been at the new studio. He's been at the pop-up studio. So
yeah,
anywhere we do a podcast, marketing team, if you're listening, Andrew Perry's got to be on no matter where in the world.
Yes. I need a pin or a watch.
Here. The watch, not yet. But there you go. That's our gift to you.
Hey, look, it's magnet.
Oh, we don't mess around here. What do you think? I was going to ruin your jacket?
Oh, shit. I don't know how to do it. There we go.
There we go, the newest member of Spark.
Yeah, baby. Love it.
Awesome. Well, welcome back to the third time. And like we had mentioned, we had you with us in Florida. Fourth time?
Fourth time.
Oh, crap. Sorry. Fourth time.
Four.
Fourth time. He's a real vet. So for the fourth time. So we
yes,
had you
sir.
In Florida. We had you here in Canada.
Yep.
So tell us what's new. I want to ask you, you know, who you are. The audience obviously knows who
yeah.
you are. But yeah, tell us what's new, what's changed, what's going on.
You know what, man? This year, 2023 was one of those building years.
Yeah.
It took a lot of grit, took a lot of discipline. I almost achieved my goal to be, you know, not client facing, to almost exit out of sales. I think I only did like 8 or 9 deals personally.
Oh, wow.
And then this year is just kind of this massive growth and expansion year for us. And it's only going to work if I remove myself from the sales completely.
Right.
So what have we been doing in order to prepare for that over the last, you know, few months is we've been really entrusting our key leaders out of the team to step up, take a little bit more responsibility. And, you know, Max, one of our new realtors, he's been on the team for a year. He's really stepping up lately. He did 3 deals in January. So to start off 2024 with just such a kick-ass start is amazing.
Nice. That's awesome. And you know what? I love that you mentioned that because it's huge in the sense that we were doing the same thing. We had the same focus in mind.
Yeah.
And so funny enough, because you were with us at the PBD office.
Yeah.
The Cigar
yeah.
Lounge.
So, so
when we
good.
Connected with Taylor and Leo.
Yes.
We actually signed up for the coaching with them.
Amazing.
And that was the one major thing that stood out to us that PBD himself was telling us about. Was choosing your directs. And Nick
yes.
and I are on the same tip right now. It's like you said, we have to take ourselves out of the transactions and have the right leaders in place.
Yeah.
So we could just keep growing the business.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing now. And he said, he's like, the top leaders have 4 to 5 directs. That's it.
That's right.
Anybody more than that, then you're over expanding yourself. You're stretching too thin. And I'm even trying to do that with our directs. And I was telling them, okay, as you grow your division now, don't bring on more than 4 or 5 people that speak to you in a day.
Right.
So I think that's huge and super important what you're talking about.
And it's funny you said that too, man, because I was just listening to, it wasn't the latest PDB podcast. It was like 2 or 3 ago. And not Vinny. Who's the other guy? I'm sorry. Do you remember the podcast host? Anyways.
No, I don't even know
yeah,
Vinny,
so
yeah.
He was basically saying, you need a direct.
Yeah.
Right? But he was like, if you don't have one, you have to make one.
Right.
And so he was explaining how he was coming onto his set, and if he needed something done, he was like, who's in charge? And everybody around him was like, I don't know. I thought you were in charge. He's like,
right.
No. I'm the host. I'm the producer. I'm not in charge. Somebody here's got to be in charge. And so he's appointing somebody. And if those people who don't want to step up, that's fine. But when, you know, push comes to shove and things are on the chopping block, those people are usually the first to go.
Absolutely. And that's what we're doing now, too, in our interviewing process is we're only looking for leaders because we're all about promoting internally. You've seen that with a lot of our staff. So that's one of the first questions we ask them when interviewing someone. It's like, do you have the leadership skills?
Yep.
We get it. It might be a basic job right now, document collecting, admin, mm-hmm. EA, whatever it may be. But we, like you said, it's hard to find that person for that role. It's very hard to hire them. You want somebody that's already within the culture to bring them up as a direct. So we're always looking for leaders for sure.
So, yeah, I always focus on, we have a rule at our team. It's if you're in the same exact position 1 year from now, we've done something wrong.
Right.
So we always promote from within. Accelerated growth is exactly how our team is positioned from the very first interview. And we want everybody to speak their mind. We want everybody to bring ideas, find gaps in our systems, and bring them to us.
Right.
And we let everybody make decisions. Now, another important thing is that you brought up the interview. Funny thing, we literally had an interview yesterday, and this very bright young woman came, and she's like, I'm like, do you have any side businesses? Are you working part-time or whatever? She's like, yeah, I actually own a florist company. I design centerpieces and, you know, flowers for weddings. I said, that's amazing. And she's like, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur, but it's just not the reality. I'm like, what do you mean it's not the reality? She's like, well, yeah, it's just, you know, it's a pipe dream. I'm like, why? Why do you think that you being your own boss is so far-fetched? And so I think that's super, super important is whether or not she joins us or she doesn't, we still want to promote that entrepreneurial spirit. And she was just going to come for an admin role.
Right.
And I was already talking about her promotion 1 year from now.
Yeah.
I said, what's to stop you from involving, you know, whatever... We can add verticals just like you guys.
Yep.
If your passion is creating centerpieces and floral designs for events, why don't you run our events and have them all staged and looking great?
Right.
And she was like, holy smokes, I never thought about that. And, you know, she emailed us right away. And so I think that's when you start it from the very beginning and say, look, your future here is whatever you want it to be.
Right.
You just have to take it.
It's super important. You hit the nail on the head with something you said where you let everybody speak their ideas. And again, we're aligned like that. That's what we do is I even let them know in the interview saying, I don't want you to come here and work within my systems. Like, what do you mean? I'm like, you're working it every day, not me. I want you to tell me when something's wrong. You know, I worked for one of the big banks, and that was one of my biggest reasons I wanted to start my own company is that I had a lot of ideas that I even put to test that I wasn't supposed to that worked when we were there.
Yeah.
And I hated that because they were just about, it's what we want to do and that's it. And that's where I said, you know, when I start my own company, and I explained it to Nick when we've gone to the partnership, I want our employees to be able to grow with us, give their ideas, give their feedback, and love what they do.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, and I like what you said, because some people, they don't have the guts or the passion to become their own entrepreneur,
yep.
but let them be an entrepreneur within our own entrepreneurial journey.
PVD said that too. He's like, you know, maybe you're not a number one.
Right.
Maybe you're number two. And what's wrong with that?
Absolutely.
Think about the CEO of Coca-Cola, of PepsiCo. Okay, they might not have started or founded the company, but they are completely fulfilled doing what they're doing, making tens of millions of dollars, by the way. So, okay, you know, passion can come from many different areas in your life and in your business. It doesn't necessarily mean it has to be something you started. For me, it was, but I pulled all of everything that I learned from LA Fitness, from Ryan Saravelli, from Revel, from mentors like you and Nick. Honestly, since I met you guys, you'd be fucking surprised how much I've implemented that I've learned from you guys.
Directly
from you or Nick, or just basically what I've seen visually or what I've experienced. So much so that I actually asked our director of operations and our lead administrator to connect with Bianca.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you because honestly, we look up to you and it was a pleasure. I remember when we started the business, we're like, Sky Andrew Perry, we got to work our way up. We're going to the smaller realtors and I'm just happy that we got this relationship.
Buddy, I stole your box idea. So every time somebody comes on the podcast now, I give them a nice box with a beautiful hat.
Nice.
And then, you know, I took, you know, every time somebody comes in, you know, your name's on the TV.
Yeah.
I made sure we started implementing that as well for all of our interviews. And it's just making sure that even just the way, who's the front desk girl that you have now?
Ivy. She's a beauty.
Amazing.
Sweetheart.
Well, you know, like, what can I get you? How are you?
Yeah.
Andrew, oh my God. The washroom's here. This, that, coffee, espresso.
Yeah.
well, no, fine. But I, that's what I, you know, I said, look, girls, I want you to make sure the experience is everlasting. And oh my God, so I got to give you guys one more compliment. The Leaf game.
Yeah.
I tell you why, the Leaf game. So we showed up super early because we were walking around with my son, and I'm like, how can I get inside this place? And there's lineups everywhere. And so I see this thing that says Scotiabank members. So I'm like, I am a Scotiabank member. I'm like, so I walk up, they're like, no. I'm like, I'm a Scotiabank member. So no. This is for the lounge. I'm like, okay. And I almost walked away. She's like, do you have your ticket? I'm like, yeah, it's right here. She's like, this is you.
Yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean this is me? She's like, follow me. Everyone's like, oh! I'm walking past all these people freezing their butts off. And then I get up take the elevator, and then there's, you know, the glass walls, yep. Right? And I hear bang, bang, bang. And people are looking at me, pointing at me, Andrew! I walk past people I know, and I'm getting escorted to this freaking MasterCard lounge. Yeah. And I sit down, and they're like, are you hungry? I'm like, yeah, of course. But I'm just going to go downstairs and get one, you know, a foot-long hot dog with a Kraft dinner on it, as what I had the last time I went to a Leafs game when I was like 4. She's like, what? I'm like, why? I'm like, I'm starving. She's like, there's food here. I'm like, oh, thank you so much. She's like, it's free. I'm like, what? Harbor 60 caters this thing. Yeah. So where I'm going with this is that it's not just, hey, here's your tickets. It's the concierge from the start to the finish. And they make you feel like a VIP.
Right.
And that's what I want to get across to my team. Whether it's a client, an agent, a referring agent, or somebody in our network, like brokers, insurance, all of that, I want them to feel the same way I felt when I got invited to the Leaf game from you guys.
Right. Yeah, no, and that's huge. And we say it all the time. Cause at the end of the day, anybody can sign up for the 4-day mortgage course and do what we do. Sign up for, you know, the 1-year real estate course and do what anybody else does. But it's like, what's going to make you stand out? What's going to make that experience everlasting? And what's going to leave that impression? Because that's what people care about. So like I said, at the end of the day, there's so many other people that have the same lenders that I have, could do what we do. But it's all about that experience. That's like, okay, you know what? I'm going to go back to Michael and Nick. I'm going to go back to the Spark team. I'm going to go back to Andrew Perry, because this is how it felt when I walked right into their office.
That's right.
So I love that. And I appreciate the compliment on that.
Absolutely.
And honestly,
man,
to go to your point about the tickets, that's why it stood out to us. Is Nick and I have been dabbling with season tickets now for like a couple of years, thinking like, should we, shouldn't we? And we didn't like this. Like, okay, here's a game. You go sit in the seat. When they introduced this year, it was like, okay, this is just us. The food, the hospitality, we need these tickets for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So talking a little bit about real estate market, to bring it back in, just to end this off.
Yeah.
Predictions for 2024. What are your thoughts?
You know what? Here's the interesting thing. I think we're seeing a busyness now because clients are actually listening to the realtors. And if the realtors are any good, they're telling their clients, look, lock in at a 6%.
Yeah.
Get the best deal you can on the home. Let the market raise the market value over the course of 12 months. I'm not a mortgage professional, so you guys are. Take the 1 year, if it was me, take the 1 year, take the variable, and just, you know, refinance. And hopefully in 12 months, you've made 5, 10%. I'm estimating at least 10% over the next 12 months. But if all this activity happens now, and the rates until spring have still not really moved, I don't know what's going to happen for the spring. Because now you're going to have so much inventory come on the market, because we pulled all of our homes off over 1.5. We pulled them off the market. Okay. So why list now? Yes, okay, there is people out, and there's serious people. But if it's not a need and it's a want, just wait a little bit. So I think sellers are going to flood the market as well, and I don't know what that competition is going to look like, because it's not COVID anymore. I may call it COVID 2.0 just based on activity, but buyers are coming back more educated.
Right.
They're like, I'm not fucking paying $300K over asking. No way.
Yeah, no, you hit the nail on the head with that, because that was the issue with COVID, is where everybody's just like, take my money.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, I think realtors need to do a much better job. Hey, everybody runs their business differently, but, you know, promoting 85 offers, 75 offers on a house in Mississauga without sharing the context, I think, you know, you're following the drama and not the data.
Right.
Right? So focus on the data, not the drama.
And I think, you know, the silver lining for 2023 was the industry sort of trimmed the fat a little bit too. that was the issue with COVID. I found on both sides, the real estate
and
the mortgage side. Everybody wanted to join. It was sexy. Sell. We're making big money. I'll give you the stat because I just finished my last course to become a full principal broker now.
Yeah.
And the stat was 80% of mortgage brokers in 2023 submitted less than three deals.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's the same for the real estate industry. But you know what? Look what all of that uneducated advisors, because that's what we are, advisors. People don't understand. We don't just turn a key and open a door. We're advisors. So whether or not we act as such, our clients look at us that way. So look what happened. It sparked Tressa.
Yep.
It sparked court cases. People can't close. People's finances have been just depleted because they, you know, had to come up with extra money because their appraisals didn't go through by the time closing happened. People thought they could assign their new construction deals all because of bad decision making and following a bad uneducated realtor. Right. So I think, yes, we've trimmed the fat. However, we're walking away a little bit scarred even as an industry.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true. So hopefully 2024.
Oh, we got this.
Yeah, we got this. Awesome, man. Well, thank you again. You're a vet. For all of you that have been watching, if you haven't followed him, please let them know where they can follow you.
On Instagram, at TheAndrewPerry. I answer the DMs. I follow back. And let's stay connected.
Awesome. Thank you guys for tuning into the episode. Thank you, Andrew, again. I'll see you next week in Florida. Be sure to like, follow, subscribe. Yeah. And we'll see you in the next episode.